Well, it's great to be with you here at St. Thomas this morning as we celebrate the 150th anniversary. Anniversaries are wonderful opportunities to reflect on the past and give thanks to God for God's many gifts over many, many years. Anniversaries are also opportunities to look to the future and give thanks for God's guidance, invitation, wisdom, and new calling. I am grateful to all of you for the hard work that has gone into planning this anniversary. I am so grateful to Lori, your priest, for her leadership, for her guidance, and of course, careful preparation for this day. It's great to be with all of you. I'm reading a book at the moment entitled Finding the Mother Tree by Suzanne Simard. Much of it is set not far from here in the forests of British Columbia. It's a book about discovering that all things are connected in the forest. The fungi, the ferns, the seedling trees, and the giant elderly trees. All connected and even communicating in their own way with one another. It's fascinating, especially when we realize that we too are part of this ecosystem and this ecology. Suzanne Simard writes this. She says, ecosystems are so similar to human societies. They're built on relationships. She says the stronger those are, the more resilient the system. And since our world's systems are composed of individual organisms, they have the capacity to change. We creatures adapt, our genes evolve, and we can learn from experience. She says a system is ever-changing because its parts, the trees and fungi and people, are constantly responding to one another and to the environment. Our success in coevolution, our success as a productive society, she says, is only as good as the strength of these bonds with other individuals and others. Out of the resulting adaptation and evolution emerge behaviors that help us to survive, grow, and thrive. She describes the relationships between all living creatures. We might use different words, but it's obvious that we are all co-dependent on one another and each living thing. And so often we forget that. We forget that our relationships are central to who we are. Not what we earn, not what we wear, not what we can recite, not what we can control. Our relationships. Our relationships with one another. And our relationship with God, our Creator, the one who calls us beloved. Despite all that we have done and continue to do to try and break our relationship with God, God still calls us beloved. Even us. Jesus said to the crowds who always seemed to be around him, despite his best efforts to get away from them, to find time to focus more completely on his relationship with the one who sent him into the world. Jesus said to the crowds, I want you to imagine that this entire world is part of the kingdom of heaven. This entire world, all that you see, all that you encounter, the people you will meet, the rich, the poor, the outcast, the hungry, the thirsty, all of them and a number of others besides, all of them are part of this kingdom of heaven. We live in the midst of it. It's all around us, even within us, and yet we spend so much time trying to find it. Like the interconnection of the fungi, the ferns, and the flourishing trees, we often cannot see it, even if we're staring right at it. God is known in our midst, and so many miss it. Anyway, Jesus might have said, let me give you an example. Actually, let me tell you a story about it. He said, a landowner is going on a long journey and leaves three of his employees in charge. He left one 5 talents, one with 2 talents, and one with just 1 talent. Now, I need to pause for a second because of that word talent. A talent was a unit of money. We might think of a talent as something we are good at, and this might be true. But Jesus was talking about a sum of money. A talent was about 15 years' wages for a laborer. So to give 5 of these talents to one employee, and assuming at $25 an hour, 5 days a week for 15 years, this is about $3.9 million. Not a bad little sum to play with on the stock market. Jesus meant to shock the crowd, even make them laugh. As in, who would trust an employee with $3.9 million and then go off on a holiday by the beach? Who would do that? A rather generous landowner. Jesus told the story how the one with the 5 made 5 more, and the one with 2 made 2 more, and the one with 1 kept that $780,000 and just buried it in the ground. And who can blame them? But Jesus wasn't telling the story so that we could be amazed at what we could do if we had $3.9 million to invest. That wasn't the point. His point was that when we are aware of the kingdom of heaven, we start to look at the entire world differently. We start to see how, like in a forest, all things are connected and all things link us to God. We start to see that, in fact, God has invested in us, not with money, but invested heavily in us an awareness that this entire world is holy ground. The entire world is filled with kingdom of heaven moments. This entire world awakens us to see God amongst us. This entire world is not filled with opportunities for growth of our income, but opportunities to discover the very thing that we have been searching our entire lives to try to find. A deeper relationship with the one who first breathed life into us and who has invested in us that we might discover this relationship. While we might spend too much of our time scurrying after that $3.9 million, when we focus on the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus reminded us over and over and over and over again, we discover that precious pearl, that mustard seed, that yeast to our bread, the 5 talents that God has invested in us. Today we're remembering the 150th anniversary of St. Thomas Chilliwack. For 150 years, people have turned to this place as a grounding for their lives, for their living, and for the best ways to invest in the abundant life. For 150 years, people here have discovered that all of life is about a relationship. A relationship that Jesus described as loving God with the whole of ourselves and our neighbors as ourselves. And we discover this because of the font that we gathered around at the beginning of this service. For it really is at the center of this and all churches. The font is the starting place that marks us as Christ's own forever. And with that, the water of baptism splashed upon us, we are making a commitment to become more aware of God's investment in us and how we are called to live into that in this world. With the water of baptism splashed upon us, we are naming our relationship with Jesus, the same Jesus who told many stories, many parables about the kingdom of heaven. This church has been grounded in this for 150 years and counting. Grounded in the kingdom of heaven and learning that God is investing in us. This morning, Joanna and Dennis and Tyler and Myrtle and Betty Ann and Andrea will be confirmed. Did I miss you? Liberty, I missed you. I'm sorry. Liberty will be confirmed, reaffirmed, or received. This is an enormous undertaking. They are revealing to us that they are aware that indeed the kingdom of heaven that Jesus spoke about is known to them. They've discovered it. Not in the pursuit of $3.9 million, but in the pursuit of recognizing God's gifts in their lives and our lives. They have discovered that Jesus came into the world. The Son of God came into the world to show us and reveal to us that we live in the kingdom of heaven. And it's beckoning us to pay more attention to God's hope for us. Jan Richardson wrote the poem, "This Grace That Scorches Us." It is about the blessing, the investment that God showers upon us. And this is just part of her poem. She said, "Bring your sorrow, bring your grief, bring your fear, bring your weariness, your pain, your disgust at how broken the world is. How fractured, how fragmented by its fighting, its wars, its hungers, its penchant for power, its ceaseless repetition of the history it refuses to rise above. I will not tell you that this blessing will fix all that." She said, "But in the place where you have gathered, wait, watch, listen, lay aside your inability to be surprised, your resistance to what you do not understand." She said, "See then whether this blessing turns to flame on your tongue, sets you to speaking what you cannot fathom, or opens your ear to a language beyond your imagining that comes as a knowing in your bones, a clarity in your heart that tells you this is the reason we were made. For this ache that finally opens us, for this struggle, this grace that scorches us toward one another and into the blazing day." Countless people have been baptized in this church over 150 years for this very same purpose. May we hear this morning recognize our own pilgrimage to draw closer to understanding more about this Jesus who painted a picture of a kingdom of heaven that reveals God's hope and trust and investment in us. May we live into that today and for the next 150 years. Amen.